This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3791, from Monday, the 13th of February, 2023. Today's show is entitled, My Hardware Problem Keyboards. It is part of the series Hardware Upgrades. It is the first show by new host Starship Tux, and is about 24 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is I'm always looking for new computer hardware. This is about my keyboards.
Just a warning that this episode was recorded in traffic on a previous date, so you will hear some background noise. Thank you.
Good day. My name is Starship Tux, and this is my first episode for Hacker Public Radio. I'm going to call this my keyboard problem. I may do more hardware problem episodes in the future, but this one's about my keyboards. Now, this isn't a problem that I have bad keyboards or my keyboards don't work. I'm always searching for the bigger, better, faster, more fit to me keyboard. It started a long time ago. Growing up, I was a child of the 80s and 90s, grew up on IBM PS2 computers, and had those nice, clicky Model M keyboards. And that's what a keyboard to me should feel like. So in trying to replicate this later, I went through lots of cheap keyboards, whatever came with my computer at the time, whatever was on the laptop at the time, and nothing ever quite felt right. I went through Microsoft ergonomic computers, membrane, things like that, and as I said, nothing ever felt quite right. A few years ago, I started getting into the tech space on YouTube and watching many videos and starting to learn a little bit that there's actually a lot of keyboards out there that you can make yourself, you can buy, and there are just dozens and dozens of options that you can choose from. So I decided I was going to buy me a very nice keyboard. So I started with a Ducky brand. It was a Ducky 1. It was RGB. And it had the Cherry MX Blues on it. And I actually really like this keyboard, but I made a mistake. So in trying to force myself to touch type more, I got a 10 keyless version of the keyboard. And this did suit my purpose for a while. It actually did force me to use the number key rope a lot more. But I did a lot of bookwork and number keypad stuff before, and I found that this was not the proper keyboard for me. While I loved the switches, I loved the quality feel of the keyboard, I needed that 10 keypad. And so I started looking for another keyboard. At the time, I didn't have a lot of money, so I think I picked up an Apex Steel keyboard, a full-size keyboard with the number pad on it, and did this for a while. But the switches just were not the same. They did not have those cherries. I don't know what brand was on that keyboard, but once again, it didn't feel quite right to me. So I bought a Razer keyboard. I bought a Razer keyboard, white keyboard with green switches on it, and tried that for a while. These were closer to what I wanted, but still just not quite the same feel as those Cherry MX Blues. So I gave that one to my wife, and she still uses it today, although I'm thinking about building her another keyboard sometime. Also, I gave that Apex keyboard to my daughter. Now, I had given her my Ducky keyboard, the 10 keyless one. Now, the problem about giving a keyboard to a kid is no matter what the quality it seems, these keyboards do not stand up to spills. And so that keyboard, while the keys still worked, shorted out the RGB with a spill. And only a few of the lights lit up. There's no way to control them anymore. And being a bit OCD on things working properly, it bugged me. So I ended up one day down at Micro Center, one about 3 hours from me, and we were building my daughter a new computer. So during the time, we just grabbed a keyboard Part of being a good parent is passing on your problems to your children. So now my daughter is addicted to mechanical keyboards. She prefers a nice clicky blue switch, similar to what I have had in the past. So I bought her a cheap Red Dragon keyboard. I think it was about $40. It has Otomo Blue keys on it. And while not my personal preference, I find them a bit harsh, a bit stiff. She likes that keyboard. Now, I also, in that time, bought me another keyboard. It was a 96% keyboard from Keychron. And this also could be wireless. It was Bluetooth. It could connect to multiple devices. I thought this was going to be great. And at the time, I used a standing desk, but the keyboard on my standing desk did not raise with the desk. So I would have two keyboards hooked up and use one as my primary, and then I would use the Keychron as a secondary. However, the Keychron came with the Gateron blue switches and a different profile on them. I think it's an OEM profile. And the angle just did not seem to fit my hand right. And I found the Gateron Blues to be a bit scratchy. They just didn't have the smooth feeling that the Cherry MX Blues had before. So I just kind of kept trying to figure out what I wanted. I would use it occasionally, but most of the time after getting rid of my standing desk, it just sat in the closet as a secondary keyboard in case I had a reason to pull it out. So eventually, I decided that I knew which brand I liked. I really liked the quality of the Ducky keyboard. And so I decided I would buy one again. But I had noticed over time that the blues were a little bit too heavy for what I liked at time. They're, I believe, a 55 Newton meter pressure force for actuation. And so I was talking about the Gateron Blues that I care for in the Keychron. And this was a soldered keyboard, so I did not have the time or the ability at the time to just desolder and resolder in new switches. So eventually I just got rid of that keyboard. But deciding that, I decided I liked the Ducky platform. Their stuff was solidly built, good color control. I'm not overly wild about RGB. I don't need any unicorn vomit or rainbows coming out. But something that I can make match an overall theme to a setup, I think, is very nice. So I picked up a Ducky 1-2. This was a full-size keyboard. It was a 108-key keyboard, which there were four keys extra. There's a calculator key, mute, volume positive, volume up, volume down. And I liked that layout. And I very much was really thinking about getting Cherry keys, but the Cherries were unavailable at the time I was needing to get this keyboard, or wanting to get this keyboard would be more accurate. So then I took and looked through and kind of saw a bunch of stuff, looked through the different keys, and I had heard of the Kales, and they seemed to be reasonably good. They seemed to be the same amount of key presses as the Cherries at the time. I think they're rated for 50 million, which is pretty common now with mechanical key switches. Some are up to 100 million key presses of lifetime. So I decided I would take the leap and go for a Kale box white key in my Cherry or my Ducky keyboard. I received this keyboard, and these keys have a 40 Newton meter actuation force on the Kale box white keys. It still had a very nice click. It was very smooth, and it had a little lighter press than the Cherry MX keys. And with the box, instead of just having the little cross connection, such as a Cherry MX key has, which is almost a standard in the industry for any mechanical key now, not your razor, then the Kao box white keys also have a little rim around the outside. Now, that cross is where the stem goes. It has a male cross on the key, whereas the key cap will have a female cross on it. And this is how they are connect together. So with the Kao box white on the key, not only does it have the male cross, but it has a little box around the outside edge, which also helps to grip the key cap and also provides a stabilizing function for these keys and the key caps. If you ever notice, you can kind of take a keyboard key and wiggle it back and forth a little bit. And if you have the wider keys, such as a 1.25U key, which probably on the left side of your keyboard, your control function, all those keys are a 1.25 unit key. Your regular letter keys, number keys, those are a one unit key. The spacebar is usually a 6 or a 6.25 unit key. And then your shifts can be 2 to 2.5 unit keys. So on some of those wider keys, such as the control key, you can kind of wiggle that. And if it's not a very good key switch in your keyboard, you can kind of push on the edge and it'll press down but not actuate the key. So that's called wobble. So if that key wobbles a bunch, it can be an issue. Well, the box keys, you reduce a lot of that wobble. It holds that key very rigidly many times, better than just a standard one. And so you've got more accuracy on your key presses. So these box white, it feels very stable in pressing the keys. It had a lighter actuation force and nice RGB, very solid frame to my Ducky keyboard, my Ducky 1-2, nice USB-C connection. And this is now my favorite keyboard that is in current daily use. Now, you'd think that would solve my keyboard issue, but of course, no. If you're on Hacker Public Radio, you probably have a tendency to mess with anything and everything that you get. So I decided I would go looking for new keycaps. So I did. I found some HyperX keys. They were known as a pudding keycap. They had a green top with the clear letter or number marking, symbol marking, and they were known as pudding. So they were, the top part was colored, but the rest of it was an opaque white. So with an RGB keyboard, the lights and the colors and everything, it lit up these keys very nicely, kind of a neat opaque color look to them. And I enjoyed this quite a bit for a long time. I have used that keyboard for several months, if not a year or more now. But then I only had the one keyboard. And sometimes I need a backup keyboard working on Raspberry Pis. If I need a graphical interface, I have an extra monitor, extra power supplies, extra everything. Except now I was down to one keyboard. Now this should not have presented a problem. But, you know, you can never have too much of a good thing, right? So this should not have presented a problem, but I decided I needed a backup keyboard. Now, since this was a backup, I didn't need anything special, but I didn't want just a regular membrane keyboard or go buy something stock off the shelf. And I'm curious more and more about mechanical keyboards, building my own, what all it goes into that. So I decided I would find a cheap keyboard that would allow me to customize some. So which brings me back to my daughter's Red Dragon keyboard. Now, this one was simple, $40. And in messing around with my 3D printer, I printed out her a creeper Minecraft escape keycap. And, well, I put it on her keyboard and she liked that. You know, nice glow-in-the-dark PLA key. Wasn't the greatest thing, but, you know, it lit up kind of neat with her keyboard. Her keyboard was a backlit red, but only backlit red. And one day my daughter came to me and said, hey, that keycap does not stay on very well. I said, okay. So I took, and not thinking, I put a little bit of super glue in it, put it on there, and walked away, forgot about it. Came back a few days and said, hey, how's that key working? She says, it's stuck. Went, what? And she's like, yeah, it won't press anymore. So I went in and looked at it, and sure enough, it was stuck. So I tried to grab a keycap puller, wiggle it off, and what, unbeknownst to me, this was a hot swappable keyboard. So I went to yank it off, and the whole keycap and the whole key popped out. And I was able to clean it up, get the key moving again, pop it back in, no problem. And she had a nice, stable Minecraft escape key on her Red Dragon keyboard. And also in the meantime, a bunch of her lights had quit working. And I didn't know why. I figured, once again, she spilled on it. But when she'd reboot her computer, I would see the whole thing flash on for a moment. And then when it booted, it would then go back to where it was. So I looked up on the internet and looked up Red Dragon LED blacklight no longer working. And it said, hit this key combination. It's a reset, and it should reset your lighting settings. And sure enough, all of the red backlights on her keyboard came back on. Now, this keyboard has been going for almost 3 years now, and she has not managed to destroy this keyboard. So that told me that the Red Dragon keyboard had some quality, despite being as cheap as it was. It had resisted a kid who spills and things like that. Also, a few of their keyboards are considered as water resistant. So this was a brand that I could look into. And now I knew that they had hot swappable keyboards available. So I started researching, which brings me back to my backup keyboard. And in looking into it, found what is known as a 75% keyboard. And Red Dragon had one. It turned out to be on sale for about $45 one day. And it did have the hot swappable switches. It is a keyboard that has no F keys. So it does not have the top row, but it does have number keys and arrow keys in a compact form factor. So I decided I would try this keyboard, even though I couldn't find one with the switches that I wanted. And so we ordered this, and I received it, and I tried it out. And I liked the form factor, but it came with Otomu Red keys, which were just slightly better to me than a membrane keyboard. There was no click to it. You couldn't feel the actuation point. Keys felt sloppy. A lot of wiggle to them, everything like that. But I had planned for this. This was going to be a mess around test bed for me. I took, after about a week, and ordered a set of hot swappable Kale box whites, the same as my Ducky keyboard. And so they came, and I went through and changed all those switches out. And they seemed to snap in fine, but after a few days, a few of them kind of quit working. So in just using it for a few days, I would pop those keys back out and found out some of the pins had bent over, had temporarily made contact with the insertion point, but had lost that connection. But it was easy enough to straighten out that connection, the little pin sticking out of the back of it, pop it back in and it would function again. And I had extra keys. Fortunately, I didn't need any of them. So changed out all of those key switches, and put the keycaps back on, and had a nice backup keyboard. It felt good. It actually sounded quite nice. And I decided, great, now I want to put a different keycap than the stock that they had, because it was a red and black configuration with a couple of white keys on there that I didn't mind the red and black. The white keys just kind of threw off the whole look of the keyboard, in my personal opinion. So I took off all of the keycaps once again and bought a set of clear black keycaps from eBay, I believe. And it came as a massive set. There was something like 160 to 170 keys in this. It came with extra control keys and alt keys and page up, page down, just a whole bunch of extra keys so that it could fit lots of different keyboards, lots of different formats. This kind of brings me back to the Razer keyboard that I had. While the control, menu, and alt keys on the left were standardized, it has on the right side of the space bar, it has a one unit key, that's the alt, and then two 1.25 unit keys, and then another single 1U key. And they're the only ones that I have seen that uses this configuration. So that created a problem on that keyboard. We had changed out the keycaps for my wife, but there were about five or six keys on that a standard keycap replacement set did not have. Whereas this clear black one does have options for all those keys. Now, these clear blacks also were an ASA style keycap. There's several different ones, and maybe I'll talk about those later. I haven't used very many of them. Looks like I've now used OEM, MX, and ASA style keycaps, but this actually was a pretty good feel to me. Once I took and replaced on my Red Dragon keyboard, I used these clear black ones, and I really liked the feel of them. But without having the function keys and things like that, I decided I didn't want that to be my daily driver. It could just stay the backup keyboard. But I liked these clear black ASA keys so much that, well, all of the HyperX pudding keycaps came off of my Ducky keyboard. On went the clear black ones. And I put the originals back on the Red Dragon keyboard. So, currently, I am using my Ducky 1-2 with Kale Box White switches and ASA clear black keycaps. My wife is using a Razer keyboard and with Razer Green switches, which are similar to a Cherry MX Blue, and she has a black crystal keycaps on hers, so you can actually see the LEDs a little more and it backlights. My daughter's currently using a Red Dragon with Otamu blue keys and red backlight and one custom Minecraft. As you can see, I have a hardware problem, a keyboard problem. I'm always looking at keyboards and seeing new stuff. So I'm hoping this may help others to think about recording an HPR episode and reach out and talk about what hardware that do you have? What things are you into that maybe you don't really think about? So hopefully this will make it to you someday. And this is my first episode of Hacker Public Radio. Thank you. Everyone have a good day.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution
4.0 International License.